Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're really happy you're with us this evening, this Sunday, August 17th, 2025. Ed, the Bible series is just 2 weeks away.
It's hard to believe, isn't it? What timing for the events that are happening in the world to have the series come about.
It's so true.
And to see Bible prophecy being fulfilled before our eyes.
Yeah, is there anything specific that you have in mind when you talk about Bible prophecy being fulfilled? Is there something that maybe...
The two horned beasts of Revelation 13.
There you go. Yeah, so this is amazing, and this is one of the topics we're going to be talking about. Now, none of the series titles are named that, but we will be talking about that two horned beast specifically in Lesson 3, which will be on Wednesday night.
So let's give them a hint.
Okay.
Could it be... The United States?
That's a really good question. I guess we'll have to wait till the Wednesday, September 3rd. The series is going to be the 1st through the 6th. It's going to be at 7 p.m. each night, except for the 6th, which is the biblical Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have it at 11 a.m. And it'll be live streamed at prophecyhope.com.
And that's when we normally have our church service.
Yes. And it's if you've been tuning in, it's just the same link. You can go to our website, prophecyhope.com, and you can stream that anytime you like, any Sabbath, you can meet us there. And then also the series will be on that same link. And, you know, before we go too far, I want to thank Ray Powers for allowing us to have this platform. I like to thank him every week that we're on the air because it really means a lot to us.
And we don't take it for granted.
We don't. We don't. It's an amazing thing that we're able to do this and that God has given us this technology and that, you know, he brought us together with Ray to be able to do these things. Yes. I believe that's providential that these things happened the way they did. So, yeah, we just want to remind everybody of that Bible series. Ed, if people want to reach you, how do they contact you?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
You can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, you can reach us at office at prophecyhope.com. So, Ed, just tell us a little bit about this little tiny ministry.
Well, we've been around since 2012 and our current location since 2015, 1743 West Beverly Street, Stanton, Virginia, 24401.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. And so send us a card.
Yeah. Send us a card or stop and see us.
Yeah. So we have our services on Wednesday evening, which is a prayer time / Bible study time, 7 p.m. Eastern time, which is available via Zoom if you're interested. And we have our church service on the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. And we have a Bible study at 9:30 we call Sabbath School, which is available via live stream or via Zoom. And then we have our church service at 11 on that same day, which is live streamed.
And we would love for you to join us. If you're ever in the area, we would really enjoy you paying us a visit. We have had people stop in on us from the local community.
And from Greece.
And from Greece. We've talked about that before, haven't we? It's pretty amazing. And somebody just popped in on us one day and said, I've been watching you from Greece, and I thought I'd come over. And he actually
spent some time with
us. He's done that twice. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it's amazing. You never know. You know, that's the beauty of the technology that we have now. You never know who's going to be watching or tuning in or maybe looking at some of the videos that are on the website. And, you know, exciting things are happening in this world. And that's why we're doing this Bible series. We do it every year. And this year, there's nothing new under the sun. Isn't that what Solomon said?
Yes.
Nothing new under the sun. So when we present Bible prophecy, it's not something that we've just generated or just has come up. And as you will see through this series, there's going to be a lot of secular history. Mm-hmm. Quoted, we're going to look at what's happened throughout the ages from the time of Babylon all the way through till today and look at what the Bible has to say about our future. So it's really exciting when we talk about these things. And you will see, when you see some of these things, if you paid any attention at all in school to secular history, you'll recognize some of the things that we're talking about. Even if you hated history, there'll be things that, and I hated history when I was in school. I did. I failed it. Even when I was a senior, I had to take summer school to get my diploma, and it was history and government, those two topics.
Or government, wow. That's important today.
It truly is. Yeah. And so that's just a little bit about this ministry and some of the things that are coming up. We're going to continue our study today in the book of Hebrews, right? We're going to pick up in chapter 11, and we're going to pick up right where we left off last week. So, Ed, if you could have a prayer for us, if that's all the business we have.
Sure. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we again thank you for this opportunity to open your word, the Bible, to view what the words on the page say and how we can learn from it, how we can experience change in our lives through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we study these things today, give us wisdom and knowledge. Help us to be able to apply these concepts to our lives. And Father, guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, right before we turn these mics on, we were just chit-chatting about things in general, and you asked me a question. You said, does anybody just read the words that are on the page in the Bible?
It seems like just about everybody I know tries to force the Bible to say what they think it should say, whatever particular doctrine of men that they're trying to reproduce in God's Word. It's never ending.
Yeah, you're right. And what brought that up was we were just talking about a comment that somebody made. They posted something on a YouTube ministry that I'm a part of, and it was just kind of out of left field. And I kind of didn't know if it was a joke or if they meant it, because it could be taken either way. And really, that's when the question came up, does anybody read what the Bible says?
Are they honest about what it says? Or they just manipulate the words on the page to make it say what they want it to say?
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's so easy today to be manipulated by YouTube channels, by ministries like this one, right? That's why we tell people, open your Bible, read it with us.
Yeah, read it for yourself. You know, test us. Are we speaking according to the Word of God?
Amen. And that's so important. And so last week, when we were reading through, we've looked over the past few weeks at a number of things. We looked at the sanctuary, the heavenly sanctuary. We've looked at the Old Testament sanctuary, just took a glimpse at it. And we were going through we started in the faith chapter, and you asked me a question about, you mentioned last week, and we were right at the end of time, right at the end of our time here on this program, and you asked me about, you said something about Cain was a farmer, basically a tiller of the ground or a farmer, and Abel was
a
shepherd. Yeah, and what was your question about that?
Well, we had been talking about basically the last number of weeks, basically being obedient to God, obeying His commandments. And so when we look at the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, we had gone there, and we discovered that God told Cain, you know, you do what's right, and things will go well with you. Mm. If you don't, sin is at the door. And my question was, you know, Cain was a farmer. He was trying to sacrifice his product, the things he grew, to God. And that was unacceptable to God because that's not what the sacrifices were about.
Okay.
And Abel was a raiser of sheep, which was the appropriate sacrifice. So I didn't want people to think that Abel's product that he produced on this earth was acceptable and Cain's wasn't. That's not what it was about. It was about being obedient to the way God has set up for things to be done, the way of salvation. And that's a constant issue today. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like repeating the words of Satan to Eve, surely you won't die if you disobey God.
Yeah.
If you don't do the things the way He has set up, that you think you have a better way than God has.
You know, I think also when we go back, when we look at reflect on that account in Genesis chapter 4 about Cain and Abel, there was something that was specific. What did that point to? In other words, one of the sacrifices was acceptable, as you said, the other one was not. God was asking for something specific, and what was the reason for that?
Because that sacrificial system was set up as an educational tool, a learning tool, that it pointed towards what Christ would come and do on the cross, that you're not saved by the blood of bulls and goats, but you're saved by faith, that it pointed to what Christ would eventually come to do, to be saved by his blood shed on Calvary, his sacrifice on Calvary.
Okay, so that line, that brings us right back. That's a perfect segue to come right back to Hebrews 11.
Right.
And this is what Hebrews 11 is all about. So in chapter 10, we saw some of the sanctuary things that took place. We saw how we're sanctified. We saw that the just live by faith. And now we're going to look. Let's just start in Hebrews chapter 11, Ed, if you don't mind. Let me get there. Hebrews 11. And let's just begin in verse 1. And how far do you want to go?
Let's just read verse 1.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, this is the King James, because this is what I'm familiar with.
Sure.
It doesn't sound right in other versions.
I understand.
It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Hmm.
Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve, and everyone in the Old Testament, there was no evidence that God would send his son to this earth. They had to take it by faith,
right,
what God told them.
That's right.
And so by faith, they offered these sacrifices, believing that this would point to the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross that would cover their sins and that they can have forgiveness by following the way of salvation that God has set up. It required faith.
It absolutely did. And that's what the verse 1 is saying. You may not have seen this happen yet, but by faith you believe that it will.
Right.
And, you know, there are people that say, well, that's blind faith. No, you're basing it on the fact that everything that God has ever told me has happened.
Right.
Everything that I see in his Bible. And if we think about the things that we haven't yet seen, we base it on, well, he's been faithful so far.
Mm-hmm.
So that builds my faith when I know that he's been faithful so far. That tells me that I know he's going to be faithful in the future if he's never fallen through on a promise.
You know, it shows the importance of a relationship with God and his son, Jesus Christ. If you can't see God's faithfulness and the little things that have happened in your life over time, how are you going to expect to have this great faith that may be required of you at some point? Are you all of a sudden going to have that? If you don't have this relationship and see how God has worked in your life, how's that going to happen?
Right. Yeah, you have to have a relationship. And the problem that I've had in my lifetime is that most of my life, my relationship was with the church
mm-hmm.
more than it was with God and
our
his
pastor.
Son. Right. I love the people. I like going there, the fellowship and things like that. But as I got older and I started studying the Bible, I started drawing closer to God and his son and realizing this is a relationship with them,
mm-hmm.
not just with the people that go to the church or the fellowship.
Right.
So because those people eventually, we live long enough, they're not going to be there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So where have I put my faith? Where is my hope? Is my hope in what the church tells me? And it comes right back to what we started with. Read the words in the Bible. Have a relationship with God.
Right. You know, as you go down here in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, you know, it gives you an examples of what this faith is. You know, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me continue in verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh.
Hmm.
Abel's faithfulness to God, his belief in God, is still a witness today because people talk about that account.
Absolutely. And just to, for clarity, Abel came to God with a sacrifice of an animal, a lamb, which Jesus is called the Lamb of God.
To take away the sins of the world, according to John Baptist.
That's it. So Abel was showing he had faith in what God put in place.
Mm-hmm.
Cain was saying, you know what? That's all good, but I have these vegetables. I'm just going to sacrifice these to you because this is what I want to do.
Yeah, and look at all this effort I put into growing them. Surely God will appreciate that.
I'm sure it was a lot of effort, you know, in harvesting and planting and these kinds of things. But that's not what God asked for.
See, that's the difference. One was being obedient to God. One was being disobedient.
And when you do that, if we look at it just from Cain's perspective, he's disregarding what the plan of salvation that God put in place.
Yes.
He's saying, that's not the way I'm going to do this.
Right.
That plan is not important to me because this is what I want to do. How is that any different from me not wanting to be obedient to God today?
It's the same.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. If I'm disobedient to God, then I'm rejecting the plan of salvation that he put in place from the very beginning. And that really puts things into perspective for me when I think of it that way. And so by faith, we have Abel showed that he believed that God was going to provide a way to take away the sins of the world. And Abel says, I'm showing you, Father, that I'm a sinner and that I need that plan.
Now, sometimes that's a hard thing to admit that I need help.
I need
forgiveness. I need to experience a change in my heart and mind.
Yeah, it's very difficult, especially in this world, because we're always told, you're okay, you're good, you're good. Everything's, you do what you want, you know, just go by your heart. What's the Bible tell us about the heart?
The heart is above all things desperately wicked.
Yeah, and so we have to be careful of those little sayings. So any other thoughts about 1 through 3, Ed, before we keep going?
No, I think we can keep going.
All right. Oh, did you read? You read 4, didn't you?
I read 4, yeah.
So
why don't you keep reading at 5?
Okay, and I love this account. It says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh, go ahead.
Here's what the King James says, because God had translated him.
Ah.
For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. In the Old Testament, it talks about Enoch walked with God.
Amen.
That meant he was obedient to God.
Yeah, that's exactly what that means. So, translated him. So that tells me that, and it says here, it says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death.
Yes.
Now, there are many people that believe many things about this, but do I believe the words on the page?
Mm-hmm.
Do I believe what this says? All of my life, I was never taught this. I had to reason my way around it, but it's very clear.
Why not believe it?
Enoch didn't die.
Yeah.
And God, he evidently took him up to heaven.
Yeah.
That's what this text is telling us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we try to figure out ways, well, that couldn't be because of blah, blah, blah. That's what I used to do because that's what my church did.
The wisdom of men.
That's exactly what it is, and which is not wisdom.
Yeah.
So it says in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, that is to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So
there are people that don't believe there is a God.
That's very true. And, you know, we always look at these rewards. We always think of them as being a future time.
Right.
Let me ask you, Ed, is your life better today because you want to obey God and you do the best you can to do so?
Sure. It leads me into, when you said that, it just made me think of a verse, I think it's in Isaiah 28, talking about the old paths, mm-hmm. going back to the old ways of following God, being obedient to Him. It will save you so much grief in your life.
Amen. It truly does. Life is so much better just by doing the will of God. And, you know, you might say, yeah, but I want to do this and I want to do that. Well, those are temporary things.
And there's also still consequences for doing those things.
You better believe it. And it can be eternal consequences, mm-hmm. not just now. So, verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. So, what do we know about Noah?
Well, you know, my understanding of what the Bible says is that before the days of Noah, there was no rain that came down.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they hadn't had a flood yet. And God was so upset with the world, it says in Genesis 6 that men's thoughts were continually evil.
All of the time, yeah.
And so he says, I regret that I made man. I'm going to destroy them and the earth. But it says Noah found grace in the sight of God.
So out of the probably billions of people who were alive, there was one who was doing the will of God. Yeah. And so many times people, we go to a church and they feel like all of these people are the saints. Everybody here, look at all these people. Well, who knows? Maybe out of them, there might only be a few. Maybe they are all saints. Mm-hmm. But the Bible record tells us that it's always the minority that's doing the will of God.
Right.
Always.
It's not popular.
You're right. It isn't popular.
Politically incorrect.
Yeah. What we're talking about is not something that people want to hear.
Yes.
And the reason why we're talking about this is because we do these Bible studies to help people to recognize their need for Jesus in their life.
Amen. The same need that you and I have.
Absolutely. That's we're excited about what Jesus has done in our lives, and that's why we do this. And God has given a commission to every person to preach the gospel, to get the word out, to let people know that Jesus is coming soon. And we feel a responsibility toward that. So when we look at this situation and we look at the situation that we're in the world today, this is not a message of doom and gloom. This is a message of hope.
Prophecies of hope.
Yes. That's why that's how we came across that name.
Yeah.
Because so many people at the end of time, churches and ministries and Christians and pastors, whoever it is, they like to use fear tactics. We don't want to scare people into feeling like, well, I better worship God or I'm going to be destroyed. No, we want to encourage people to have a relationship with Him. And then you will be moved internally.
But people also need to know there are consequences to our choices.
Yes.
You know, it's not... God is a God of love, but He's also a God of justice.
Mm.
And His justice will be revealed.
We don't talk about, well, we do, but Christians don't typically talk about the justice part.
Mm-hmm.
They always talk about the grace part. And I think part of that is so that we can continue, they want to continue to live as they live, but be okay because Jesus has them covered.
Yeah.
But you can see that when we look at this faith chapter in Hebrews 11, that there is a right way and a wrong way.
Faith doesn't produce disobedience.
Correct.
It produces obedience to God because you believe the words that He says.
Yeah.
You love God because He's loved us first, and you want to be obedient to Him. You want to have this relationship with Him.
Yeah. You know, obey is a four-letter word, and that's the way most people treat it.
Yeah.
They don't like it.
No, they don't.
But it's actually a good thing. It's a good thing to obey. So any other thoughts about this text here, where we are in verse 7? We're getting ready to go into verse 8.
Now, you know, we could spend a long time going to Genesis 6 and 7 and all that, but let's just continue on. Okay, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went, not knowing where he was going. He just obeyed God. God told him to go, so he went.
It's amazing.
That's a lot of faith.
That's tremendous faith. It really is. And Abraham had an amazing relationship with God.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he didn't do everything just right. He made some mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
But he recognized, especially once Isaac was born, when he went up on the mountain with Isaac, I think that was a defining moment in Abraham's life.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed
his faith
that he
was tested.
Absolutely. What happened there, Ed? Can you just give us an overview?
It will come up later in the chapter if you want to.
Okay,
wait,
sure.
For that.
Yeah, go ahead. Would you continue to read?
All right. Verse 9. Still talking about Abraham. By faith, he lived in the land of promise as a stranger, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the same promise with him. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What city is he talking about there?
Would that be the New Jerusalem?
Yeah, that heavenly city.
Yeah, it's going to tell us that later too,
yes.
Which is pretty amazing.
Verse 11, by faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him who had promised to be faithful. I believe she was in her 90s.
Yeah, that's what the Bible tells us.
Yeah. Because this came into being from one, and that of one having died, even if the stars of the sky in multitude, as innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And this is talking that one having died, talking about Abraham in his old age.
Hmm. Okay. And then the sands of the seashore. So it's saying that it's going to be many.
His descendants, yes.
Right. Are going to be many.
And that, you know, through Ishmael, there was a large descendants.
Yes, there were.
Through Isaac, there's a large number of descendants.
So I want to take just a moment because when we think about Abraham and we think about the faith of Abraham, and I mentioned that he didn't do everything just right. If he had been obedient to God's arrangement of one man and one woman, go ahead, you want to say something?
Sarah was just as involved as this. In fact, she suggested it.
Yes.
His wife, that he have a relationship with her handmaid to produce this promised son of God. And that was a lack of faith.
It was. It was basically taking things into your own hands, saying, you know what, we can make this happen. We can do it this way.
Right.
How is that any different than what Cain did?
Right.
I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to make this sacrifice. So it shows the importance of hearing God, being patient and waiting mm-hmm. for him to do what he does.
Right.
And it showed a lack of faith by her doing that. And really, you know, this is, boy, what I'm about to say is really politically incorrect. You know, Adam shouldn't have listened to Eve.
No.
Abraham should not have listened to Sarah.
The Bible tells us that Satan deceived Adam.
Eve.
I mean, excuse me.
Yeah.
Satan deceived Eve, but Adam was not deceived.
Correct.
He knew what was going on, yet chose to disobey God anyways.
So really, Adam is held to a higher accountability because... Mm-hmm. Eve was tricked, but Adam wasn't. And then here, you know, for Abraham to do this, I would think he would know that he shouldn't do that.
But he listened to his wife.
He listened to his wife. So this is very important for men in their homes who are married. There's nothing wrong with listening to your wife so long as what she's telling you is lined up with the Word of God.
Right.
But if it's contrary to what God has said, it's easy for a man, I'm going to tell you, because I am a man, and, you know, when you have a pretty wife, you're going to try to please her.
Mm-hmm.
And so stepping out and saying, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, in spite of what my wife says, is not an easy thing to do.
And that can go the other way, too.
Yes.
If your husband tells you not to do the things that God says you to do, that's an issue.
It is a huge issue. Yeah. But the wife can, the Bible says that a husband can be won without a word. In other words, by the conduct of his wife, she can win him over to knowing God and seeing what God can do in your life.
Right.
So it's a warning for everyone here. And the problems that we have that are going on in the Middle East today are as a result of this relationship that Sarah induced Abraham or encouraged Abraham to have. All of that's, and we've talked about that in the past, but it shows the importance of obedience.
Yes. Let's go on in Hebrews 11:13.
Okay.
These all died by the way of faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Hmm.
This is talking about the promise of a coming Savior. Even though they died not having seen these promises come to fruition and realized they were far off, yet they believed them, they embraced them, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Why? Because God created this earth to be without sin.
Right.
Man had chosen to commit sin on this earth, and now they were living in a sinful world.
Right.
And that made them feel like a stranger, a pilgrim on the earth.
Because now sin had been introduced to the earth quite a bit before this. Now remember, these accounts that we're looking at here are all in Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we're seeing here is all found in the book of Genesis. So this is very early on in the history of creation. I think the flood was approximately 1,800 or 2,000 years after Adam, after creation. And this also is quite a bit of time before Jesus came the first time. And that's what they're in expectation of, knowing it's a ways off.
Let me read 13 again and continue.
Okay.
These all died by way of faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they who say such things declare plainly that they seek a fatherland. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came, they might have had opportunity to return. Talking about if they valued this earth, which they came from, they could have returned to that type of living, that place of living. But now they stretch forth to a better fatherland, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
Mm. That's beautiful. So, you know, what's interesting to me, Ed, is anybody that's listening that comes from the background that I come from, they've been taught something contrary to what this says. This is saying that we will be a part of the New Jerusalem, that Abraham will be a part of New Jerusalem, that Noah, all of these people who are named here, Abel, Sarah, Abraham, these people by faith did these things, and they're going to be a part in that New Jerusalem we were reading about in Revelation just a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be there. They're not there now. These folks that we just read about, Abraham is not, we don't think they are. they're because we return to the dust. But we know for sure that they will be in the New Jerusalem if they're not already there.
They died not having received the promise. They believed in the promise of God, not only that Jesus Christ would come and fulfill that sacrifice for forgiveness of sins, but that one day they would be raised to life, eternal life.
Amen. So the only reason, just I'm going to give some explanation here, because the only reason I said they're not there now or we don't think they were is because, remember, in Jesus' day, there was a resurrection.
Right. Let's back up a little bit.
Okay.
Let's start with what happens when someone dies.
Yeah, that, you know, that was the first program that was ever done here on here. What does happen, Ed? What does the Bible tell us? In Ecclesiastes, it says something in Ecclesiastes chapter 9.
Yeah, it says, the living know that they shall die, but the dead not know anything. They have no wisdom, no love,
no knowledge
or of anything under the sun, because they're dead.
Right.
There's no consciousness in death.
That's Ecclesiastes 9, 5, and 6.
Yes.
So go ahead.
And Ecclesiastes 12 tells us that you return to the dust, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. That spirit is simply the breath of God that we see in Genesis chapter 2. God created man out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Mm, that's right.
People are not dead and have life someplace else.
Right. And all resurrections, according to the Bible, are bodily resurrections.
Yes.
You're not resurrected apart from your body. But when you're resurrected to the heavenly courts, you're given a glorious body, a glorified body.
So when we look at these people of faith, they're not alive today. And you made this kind of,
parenthetical
thought.
Yeah.
Because when Jesus rose from the dead, there was others that were resurrected with him.
That's what the Bible tells us.
Yeah, we don't know who they are.
We don't know.
That's why you said that.
Yes. I want to be careful. I don't want to mislead people, but at the same time, I don't want to make a blanket statement.
Right.
Because we don't know who they are. But Revelation tells us, and we've looked at this before, there are at least 24 that we know.
Elders.
That sit around the throne, mm-hmm. and they've been redeemed from the earth.
Right.
And so who knows who is among them?
Yeah.
It could be Enoch, it could be Moses, it could be any one of these who may have been resurrected.
And the reason you say Moses, because Moses was resurrected from the dead.
Correct.
He didn't die and then go to heaven. He was resurrected.
Yeah, Jude 1:9 tells us that. And so, you know, these are some of the finer points. We have touched on some of these things in programs in the past. And I know, I'm hoping that these will cause people to send in some questions and say, wait a minute. But go ahead, Ed. Where were we?
Let's continue on in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, being tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac your seed shall be called. You know, this promise that God made to Abraham, that his seed, his inheritance, his children, his offspring would be as the sands of the sea, as the stars in the sky, would occur through Isaac. Yet God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son.
Right.
So what would happen to that promise?
Well, if he would have done it, if he would have followed, been able to follow through, it would have stopped and had to be fulfilled some other way.
Well, let's continue on. Let me read this again, starting from verse 17. By faith, Abraham, being tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from where he even received him in a figure.
So he knew that Isaac was the chosen seed.
Yes.
And he had faith that even if I sacrifice my son, God can resurrect him.
And he was just being obedient to God. God was testing him. If you know the conclusion of that story, you know as Abraham raised the knife to kill his son, an angel stopped him. And there was a ram stuck in a thicket of thorns. And they used that for the sacrifice instead of his son.
And, you know, it goes right back to the question. Isaac said, they had a wood and they had the altar, but there was no sacrifice.
Yeah.
And what did Abraham say?
You know, Isaac asked him, well, where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? And he told his son, God will provide.
Yeah, and he did.
Yes, he did.
He did. And, you know, having that kind of faith, it's hard for me to comprehend that.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, being put that far out and saying, I know that God's going to take care of this. I'm not worried about it. But you know what else is important about that? Abraham somehow knew the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that God wasn't going to tempt him beyond what he could bear.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that whatever God put in front of him, that God would be faithful to provide whatever he needed. That's because he knew he had a relationship.
You know, a number of years ago in a Bible study in Sabbath school, we're talking about that God needs to test his people to know who is safe to save, to know who's going to be obedient to him. There's a verse that talks about King Hezekiah that it says that God removed his spirit from him to see what was really in his heart. God wants to know, truly, do you love him? Truly, what's in your heart? Will you be faithful to him? Will you be obedient to him? And he allows things to happen in your life to test you, to see if that's the case. Just as we see here with Abraham.
Yeah. And really, you would think that, you know, when you put yourself in that position, I often wonder, would I pass the test?
Yeah.
And I think the closer you draw to God, the more confident you can be, because you want to please him. It's not about pleasing myself.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. There are times I want to please me and I want to do what I want to do. But as I get older and I develop more of a relationship with God, they become fewer and much further apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Now, I want to talk about something verse 17 says.
Okay.
Was Isaac the first child that Abraham had?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? It does call him the firstborn, doesn't it? Is that what it says?
It says his only begotten son.
Well, if you think about it, the relationship that he had with Hagar was an illegitimate relationship.
It was.
That wasn't count. God did not count that as his only begotten, but it had to be through the marital arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
This shows the importance that God puts on the holiness of a marriage. We should never step outside of that for any kind of a relationship with another person.
You know, Paul in Galatians chapter 4, I believe, it talks about what we're talking about here. It calls Ishmael a child of the flesh and Isaac the child of promise, the son of promise.
Yeah, that's right, the son of promise.
Yeah.
So
that's why it says his only begotten son.
Because he was the only one that was begotten according to God's arrangement.
Yes.
It's interesting, only begotten. You know, Ed, I have to share this. I was in a store the other week with my wife, and they had a shirt up with John 3:16 on it.
You had what?
They had a shirt with a printout of John 3:16.
Okay.
And I looked at it, and I took a picture of it.
They left out only begotten?
Yes, they left it out. And that really bothered me. I mean, I looked at it, and I looked at my wife. I said, they've changed the verse. They took out only begotten son.
Mm-hmm.
And so these changes, while subtle, and people might say, well, what difference does that make? Well, it's right here in Hebrews.
It talks about truth.
Yes.
Who Jesus is.
Amen. He's the only begotten son of God.
Yeah.
And so to remove that from the text, and then here, you know, it shows Isaac being the only begotten son of Abraham, it's a type, we could say. It's a type.
Did not God send his son to die on the cross?
Yes, he did. And then Abraham was putting his son on the altar to give his life according to God's will.
Right.
But God didn't allow that to happen.
You know, there's a online evangelist, a pastor, that I know has had a great influence on your life. And he simply refuses to quote John 3:16 as it should be quoted.
Really? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
He will not say those words, the only begotten Son of God.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
You know, when we start manipulating the Bible, we get into big trouble. We really do. And this is, it goes right back to reading the words on the page. Now, I want to say this. There are some translations that have removed those words, only begotten.
Yes.
And they'll say one and only son.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason why only begotten is so important.
Jesus is the only true Son of God.
That's it. He came
just
forth.
As God is the only true God, His Father, His right. Father and His God, Jehovah, Yahweh, whatever name you use.
Yeah. So these little tiny things, it's just the world is trying to erode away who God is, who His Son is, and trying to take away our relationship with them.
This is because the devil wants to keep you from the Son of God, Jesus Christ, because there's salvation through Him.
Mm.
And he's trying to separate you from Him.
Yes. And that's why we want to encourage you to open your Bible to read it. If you need a Bible, contact us. We'll send you one. And read these words with us. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. It's a type. And then it says in verse 18, of whom it was said, and Isaac, your seed shall be called. That seed is the Messiah who would eventually come.
Yes. Concluding that God was able to raise him up. Who raised up Jesus Christ?
The Father.
The Father did. His Father.
Yeah. His God and Father.
Yes.
So these things are so important. And then where,
Verse 20.
Go ahead, Ed, please.
By faith, Isaac, who's the son of Abraham, blessed Jacob and Esau, his two sons, concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on top of his staff. Now, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel,
right,
is where the 12 tribes of Israel come from, his 12 sons.
Yes.
And Joseph had two children, Manasseh and Ephraim.
Yeah, Manasseh. Yeah. Was it Manasseh?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And he blessed them. And just as Jacob, who was younger than Esau, received the blessing from his father, so the younger person, the younger child of Joseph, received the blessing of Jacob. And what's really interesting, I know this is way off subject, but in Revelation, when you look at Revelation 17 and 14, it talks about the tribes of Israel.
Right.
The tribe of Dan is not mentioned there.
That's correct.
And it's substituted with, I don't remember if it's Ephraim or Manasseh, but one of the children of Joseph is substituted in his place.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I haven't looked at that in a while.
But anyways, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, dying, remembered concerning the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. This was before the children of Israel, long before they left Egypt. But
right.
He had faith that that would occur and wanted his bones taken with them when they left Egypt. By faith, Moses, having been born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. The time Moses was born, the king, the Pharaoh, remember they were in Egypt as slaves, ordered all the sons to be put to death.
Right.
And so they hid Moses in the bulrushes in a basket. And he was found by Pharaoh's daughter. But they weren't afraid of the commands of the kings. They saved their son by being obedient to God and not to the Pharaoh.
That's right. It's, you know, what an amazing account when you read those things.
Having become great, Moses, by faith, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a time, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he was endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempted to do so were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been compassed 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. You know, there's so much to all these stories.
Each one. Yeah, there's so much there. And it's all in Genesis.
Yes. And so you have to understand that all these events took faith. Faith in the promise of God. God told them to go do these things, and then when they went and were obedient, those things occurred.
Mm. All of these
they weren't always
people.
Faithful, though.
Right. That's true. But, you know, it tells me that it seems that because they're mentioned here, by the end of their lives, yes, they had that relationship with God.
Right. I also want to make it clear that the nation of Israel was more unfaithful than they were faithful with God.
Absolutely.
Over their years.
And that's why he allowed them so much tragedy. That's why they were taken into captivity.
Yes.
And more than once.
Not only were they disobedient to God, they were worshiping false gods.
Right after being told not to do it, right after acknowledging, we will never do that, they did it. Yeah. It's so easy. You know, if you think about it, if it was easy then, how much easier is it now, Ed, with the influences that we have?
The influence in our lives, our friends and relatives and the things we hear in our ears, the things that we watch on YouTube or TV or the movies or games, gaming or whatever, they all have an influence on us, whether you want to admit it or not. What you take in, even the food that we eat, can have an influence on our emotions and our thoughts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Diet changes everything because we are what we eat. If we eat garbage, we're going to feel like garbage. We're going to think about garbage.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
So let's keep going here.
Verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also David and Samuel the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, talk about Daniel, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the strangers. Women received their dead raised to life again. Talking about Christ, Jesus Christ. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Mm. You know, Jesus raised children from the dead.
Yeah.
The widow of Nain's son, he raised to the dead. That's what this is talking about. And notice not everything was a happy ending.
Right.
Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, a better life, a better city, an eternal city.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yes, more of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawed in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through their faith, did not receive the promise. For God had provided something, some better thing for us, that they should not be made perfect without us. They died before receiving the promise, the promise of eternal life through the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
They died with faith.
Yes.
That he would come, that he would fulfill what God promised in the garden.
By faith, they were obedient to God and not to men. And thus they suffer these things. So many of these things happened during the Dark Ages, during the persecution, the beast of Revelation 13.
Right.
You know, persecuting the people of God.
It's so true. So when I look at these, all of these people of old who, and this was all before Jesus appeared here on the earth, before he came to earth, they put their faith that this one that God promised is coming.
Yes.
This is going to happen. Well, now here we are nearly 2,000 years after that's happened, and we look back and we say, this did happen.
Yes.
These people died with faith long before it happened, and they're remembered here in the book of Hebrews. They're remembered. It's being written about.
Mm-hmm.
They're recorded as all of these people are going to be in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
The writer of Hebrews was inspired by God to write these things. So that's a guarantee. We know for sure that these people will be there. And I want my name written in that book with them.
Let's read the first two verses of chapter 12. The author, after telling us about the faith of all his people, says in verse 1 of chapter 12, "Therefore, since we are also are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right of the throne of God." Jesus had the promise of the salvation of mankind if he was to go through that. That's the joy that was set before him. If you go through this, this is what's going to happen. You'll see all these people who trusted God, who believed in the plan of salvation. Mm-hmm. You'll see the effects that it had on their life. Wisdom will be known by her children. The wisdom of God in sending his son will be known by these people and the lives that it produced because they trusted in God and were obedient to him.
These are great examples for us to reflect on, to look back at these accounts, see how they endured, see what they went through, and to think the things that they endured are probably much worse than what anything I'm going to have to ever go through. But keep in mind that at the end of time, there will be a time of trouble that we'll have to go through. But God saw them through it. They died in faith. We can do the same if we die before Christ comes.
Jesus says, "I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age," or the end of the world.
Amen. Ed, that's a great place to stop. And we're out of time today, so let's have a closing word of prayer, shall we? Father in heaven, we're just so grateful for this faith chapter in Hebrews 11. What an encouragement it is to each and every one of us. And Father, I just pray that we can not forget these things, that during this week we can just reflect on them, and that it will build our faith, that we can have a relationship with you and your Son. Father, please keep us safe until we come together again. We thank you for all of the blessings that you've poured out on us. And most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, thank you so much for the study. This was very good. Friends, we hope to meet you back here next week, right here on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. next Sunday. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.